Good morning, everyone. Welcome. My name is Chuki, and I just want to say just a couple of things about what to expect for anybody who's here for the first time today. In just a minute, Gesa Geshigalik will be coming in. He's our teacher today, and we'll all stand out of respect for the teachings when he comes in, and then some of us will make prostrations, but don't feel at all like you need to do that. I'll be leading just a couple of prayers in the prayer books, the gold prayer books. If you're... Well, yes, I will. I'm sorry. if you're on a cushion, it's right in front of you. If you're in a chair, it's behind you. And if you're on the pews, there's some at the end that can be passed down. So we'll read just a couple of prayers out of that. And if you have any device that might make noise, it'd be great if you could put it on mute before we get started. And I think that's it. Guess we'll be in just a minute. Okay, so in the gold prayer book, if you turn to page 183, We'll recite Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra 3 times. It's down near the bottom of the page. Taya tao mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya tao mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya tao turn to page 34. We'll recite the 4 immeasurables in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And then turn the page, and on the bottom of 37, there's the 4 immeasurables chanting version, and we'll do that in Tibetan. Sam Chan Tham Chen De Wa Ha Dong De Wen Yu Dong De Ma Yu Chi. Tenrei Zig's mantra 8 times and then Green Tara's mantra 7 times. Free to go to class.
Please, would you mind take 1 minute to introduce each other, please? Mm-mm. This is good to recite Tara Mantra meaning for the babies. So begin the meditations, okay? So even though you hear the sounds, you can hear some, but please try not to let your mind carry by sound outside. No. This morning I asked one of the center member, somebody who likes to climb Rocky Mountain in Colorado. So I asked him, why people like to climb the mountains, So I've been thinking that last couple of days, thinking about if any one of us, want to feel, want to experience, or want to make our mind calm and peaceful, So, see, if any one of us want to experience calm mind, peaceful mind, or make our mind calm and peaceful, what we should try, we did try so many other things, didn't work greatly. But we should try, So, see, It's been said, I'm here repeating, it's been said, not just one time, many times it's been said, when you concentrate, when you focus, it makes your mind calm and peaceful. So, when you're climbing the mountain, I've myself never climbed the mountains. I can't talk with experience. But when you're climbing the high mountains, you have to be concentrated. You can't just space around. I said, space out, and then you fall down. One misstep, it's about life and death, So, particularly if you're climbing the Mount Everest, which I saw from my eye, so never climb, but. So people are so focused. So sometimes they say, this is like, feel like meditation. It's not a surprise. Walking with a sculpture, stone, people with the big tools. You have to be mindful, otherwise, small mistake will break. Like many hours worth of work, could break like small mistake. Then people concentrate. When they concentrate, that's the best way to stop at the thought. See. So, meditation. So then, me and all my friends here, so we must try. To find any instructions that helps you to improve your concentrations. So according to the teaching on concentrations been taught thousands of years ago. So according to that instructions, there are like nine stages you go through. The first stage is to learn how to be within, be present. That's the first stage. That's how the concentration improves. The first stage is to how to be within, be within. There's not going to happen if you just sit like this. That's not going to happen. So what we need some object to focus on, Single object, not multiple objects, single object. Can be anything, doesn't have to be, this is not Buddhist practice, this is like common practice. The people who are interested to develop their concentrations, that's for them, this is not Buddhist teaching, so because of that, any image we can use, so create some kind of mental image, and stick with that image. Or you can use your own breath in and out. So I've been saying this many times. It's important. I don't think that you don't understand. I do know that you understand very clearly. Understanding is not good enough. So we need to put into practice. So whatever ways that you can focus, you can concentrate, it's all good. Then that makes your mind calm and peaceful. Someday, concentration makes your mind calm and peaceful. So, in the next couple of minutes, sit quietly, then try to concentrate, okay? So, or maybe you can create some mental image and try to concentrate. That's what we're going to do, okay? Thank you. you know, we can guide our mind. We can guide our mind through words. We can guide our mind through words, or through words. How I should say. The best thing is not to use any word. That's the best, you know. So even using the word become also distractions too. So then, you know, unfortunately at the beginning, so we have to use, you know, some kind of word. So then eventually, you know, we don't need. So the words that describe the object, that describe the object. Okay. Otherwise, hard to see. You know, if somebody say, okay, just as. If you describe, you know, if you are visualizing, if you are so basically it's about creating mental image to use to focus on. So that, you know, some, it depends on the image, you know, some of the image according to Buddhism is very, very complicated, you know, so then they require word to describe whole image, okay. Or space before me, there's no, like, that's why you think something, then space before me, there's no, like, beautiful, leaf, and then no, yeah, man, how loma, leaf, metal, there's flower, then there's fruit. You kind of describe that, you describe. There's a way to guide your mind to make connection with the image. You describe that whole image, you know. So then somehow, you know, like, because we've been talking, all our life we've been talking, you know. So we used to talking. It's easier for, that's how we explain things. We explain, we talk. So we don't know how to explain without talking, so we don't know. So that's why somehow just like explaining the image that you are going to focus on through words, you know. So then it's like kind of like guiding your mind towards image. So space before me, there's tree, there's leaf. So you have some guess, you get some idea, because we know what leaves look like. And flower, then you have some idea, you know. So then they describe the color. What kind of color, you know? So then point is to keep the mind there, you know, keep the mind there, you know, so make mind of the image. If there's a person, you have to describe, okay, clothes, maybe jeans, whatever the person is wearing, I'm not sure. Like that, you know, so that's, so the point is to concentrate, okay? Why? Because it makes your mind calm and peaceful, huh? So then you describe the object. You know, so you can imagine that describing the whole mandala. Mandala? You know mandala? You know, that's like, you know, usually just you see the painting, but actually it's three-dimensional, it's like house. You know? So then you're describing that mandala by word, and the same time thinking. You know, each time you describe, or just draw, decorate with this, you know, that color, and you kind of like, you know, so then you are keeping your mind on one or single object. So that's the benefit of that, is like then makes your mind calm and peaceful. But concentration does not liberate. Concentration does not liberate. The wisdom liberates. Okay? Concentration makes your mind calm and peaceful. The wisdom liberates. Then wisdom, you know, the wisdom is that produced by knowledge. No knowledge, no wisdom, no wisdom, no freedom. So concentration makes your mind calm and peaceful. So that's what I'm thinking. When people, they climb high mountains, they feel kind of peace, calm, because they are focusing. Not just focusing, they're really focusing, you know, when they're doing something. So then it's not surprise why sometimes people, they feel, oh, this is like meditation, you know, this for me is like meditation. Of course, once you concentrate, it is meditation, so you don't have to sit like this, you know. So, but we have to find how to concentrate. So according to the teaching of concentration, there's 9 stages. First one is to be within, be present, be within. So that requires object. Now without object, I don't know. It's very hard. How to be within. So without object, it's hard. Then object, you know, people use all kinds of different objects. That's the initial stage, how to be within So then, you know, if you are using like some kind of instructions to describing the object, then, you know, that's quite good because it describes the object step by step, you know, flower, leaf, flower, this color, that, this size, this many flowers, that, then top of that, then this and that, then this all the visualization practice comes, you know, all the visualization. So therefore, people can sit there many, many hours, no problem. Because, you know, that the object they are describing is huge. So they really have no problem sitting there, you know, and that's like being within, being present. Being present, being within. So that's the first step that we learn in order to improve our concentrations. So that's the first stage to how to be within, be present. Oh? So that requires some object. Without object, this is going to be very, very difficult, no? So see, result, no, result is going to become mind, peaceful mind, okay? That's the result. In the beginning, short, many. When you become familiar, few and long. Oh, that's how the meditation has been done. Then eventually, all the other thoughts are going to get weaker. That's the way to stop. Otherwise, no, yeah, you have wish, I have wish, and I wish that I don't have any thought at all. No, you wish. But how it's been done, that's how it's been done. When the concentration becomes really strong, then sometimes you don't hear the noise. All the other senses become weaker. Doesn't mean that you become deaf. Now when you come out of the meditation, you will hear sound. No need to worry. So mind is always on the move. So we need to learn how to make our mind still. So when the stillness get improved, other, you know, senses become weaker and weaker. Doesn't mean they're going to go away. You know, see, mind always think, even though when we sleep, mind is still thinking, you know, thinking all kinds of things. Even the dream, the sleep, that's why we have dreams, you know, dreams. All the, these 5 senses are not functioning, but, you know, the mind is still functioning. You know? So that mind is on the move all the time. It's on the move. It's never been still. Therefore, we are not experiencing calm mind, peaceful mind, no matter what we try to do. No, we try all kinds of things to make our mind calm and peaceful, but it doesn't work. Why it's not work? Because once the mind is on the move, you are not going to experience calm and peaceful. In order to experience that, you have to concentrate, you have to focus. So when you focus, then you know that's the way to enjoy calm mind, there's a way to make your mind calm and peaceful. Quite easy to say, but not that easy to do. I'm sorry to say, it's not easy for you, it's not easy for me either. No, it's not easy for anyone, but we have to try, we must try. So there's a beginning. Then, according to the 9 stages, the instruction of the 9 stages, how to improve our concentration according to that instructions, the first one is to be within, be present. That requires some kind of object, mental image. Oh? So you can describe, you can guide, as I said, sometimes for the beginner it's helpful if you describe the object, if you describe by word. So in Buddhism there are many, many texts, you know, you can memorize, and then the text explains, you know, the express about the image or the object, no? So there's one way to know the keep the mind, which is like elephant. So see, when we dream about elephants, we dream of elephant sometimes. I'm not sure how often people dream of elephant in this country. So in India, people do dream of elephants because they have elephants. They have elephants in the jungle, not in the room. And here, no, you don't have elephant in the jungle, but you have elephant in the room. First, when I came first time to North Carolina, some of the Sendai members took me to the wood. See, here, you know, you just go to wood, like you take walk wood, but no, in my hometown, nobody take walk in the wood at all, unless you have some work to do. You don't just go just by, do nothing. So, people probably think that you are out of your mind if you just go around. You know, so, different worlds, you know. Here, people just go to wood, you know, they have no work to do, they just go. In my hometown, when people go to wood, they have some work to do. So, they have no time to just go. Anyway, so here, so I thought, you know, when they took me to wood, so there's big trees, you know, the number of them falls down everywhere. So I was wondering if that's done by elephant. So I asked them, is the elephant in the wood? They said, no, Gila, there's no elephant. I said, oh. So they said, there's an elephant in the room, not in the jungle. So, so that elephant is mind. That's an elephant, you know. According to meditation instructions, that elephant doesn't refer to the problem. That elephant is mind. So powerful. That elephant needs to be trained. Otherwise, that elephant will make like your own world and the world of other people, you know, like miserable, very, very miserable, if that elephant gets, you know, out of control. So that's mind because elephant. So anyway, so this morning, there's no elephant in the wood here in America, but there's elephant in the room. In India, there's elephant in the jungle, too. And also, of course, there's elephant in the room, too. If the elephant refers to the problems, there's also tons of problems there, too. So then here, you talk about holy cow, but you don't see cows. So where's the holy cow? Holy cow's in India. Have you been to India, some of you? Yeah, they consider cows holy. So therefore, cows is roaming freely in the post office when you go, not every post office, some post office you see cow, then the cows on the road and everywhere, you know. That's called holy cow. So here they say holy cow, so there's no holy cow. I don't know why you say holy cow. So one of so one of my friends, so we went to India. Actually, he's like, that's his brother, you know, the doctor, one doctor. So we went to monastery. Then he just wanted to go to Mysore, which is like big town, big city, like 2 hours from my monastery. It's a big city. There's a lot of old palace, you know, so that tourists, they are interested to see, you know, old palace. So he just wanted to go by himself to discover in that town. So later on, I saw the photos, that he took a lot of photos. His car was stopped by a holy cow. Probably he said many times holy cow, but he never saw holy cow. So that time he saw the holy cow there. The driver will not move because there's cow standing in front of the car, decorated by all kind of flowers. Turns out that's holy cow. So they won't let you go unless you give them some money. So then you kind of know, like, what is that, you know? So that is holy cow. That's holy cow. So anyway, so that's not part of meditation. So, you know, kind of interesting just being here now, 16 years, some of the words that you hear, you know, so then you don't see anything, or. So, the flea market. There's no flea. That's not a flea market. So interesting thing. So anyway, so I'm going to stop. So I'm not going to be nonsense. So my point is here now, back to the elephant. Oh. So this is the mind, this is considered as elephant. That elephant needs to be tied on object. So in order to tie that elephant to the object, first we have to have objects. So what is that means? I found the word that I've been trying to explain, that one stanza that I've been trying to explain in my book in English. I'm not sure how much you understand. So I found that I found the translations, and because of lack of mindfulness, I forgot today to bring it down. So next time I'll bring it down and read to you, okay? So then please now find how to improve your concentrations. Once you concentrate, then your mind is going to become peaceful. And please try. Try, you know. What's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. You're not going to lose anything. No, try and see. No, if that makes your mind calm and peaceful. Object doesn't have to be something holy. You know, it can be just piece of flower. It can be just waterfall. It can be rainbow. It can be color. It can be light. All kinds of things. You know, so you use and see, and like, then eventually that image becomes so clear, so detailed. You know. So then the mind will trick you. If you are one object, mind end up seeing about two, it's like red, you end up seeing yellow, but don't follow. You know, just stick with the object that you made it, stick with that. You know? And that's the way to, you know, make your mind calm and peaceful. So, so I mean, that's why we need to concentrate, okay? Yeah, so then I would like to read, you know, few. The last Sunday I did not read from this book because there's like there's quite a number of students or from one church came and sit there on whole bench, you know, full with students. So I thought, you know, if I read from some people here, probably they're not going to understand. So I just talk. So here, now today I'm going to read this here, back to the normal Sunday. Now please can you read the translation? So this is, no. Before I say it, this is like books, it's called 7-point thought transformations. You know? Thought needs to be transformed. Thought. Huh? Our thought needs to be transformed because our thought cause problems. Huh? So see, so many problems occur because of our thought, our thinking. So certain thinking needs to be trained or transformed. Oh? We need to transform our thinking. Oh? So then this is called 7-point thought transformations. So now, you know, there's books, this has already been translated into English. If you want to read, you can, you know, get the books out there. You can get, you can also, how do you say, borrow. Rent or borrow?
Borrow.
Borrow, you can borrow the book, or you can buy. This was 7-point thought transformation. So you have experience, I have experience every single day, minute we wake up, you know, how much problem they're caused by our thinking. So you have experience, I have experience. You know, we have a lot of experience on that. So this one is called Lale Tamje Chilada. Now,
banish all blames to the single source.
What we do, usually what we do, what you do, what I do, you know, we all know what I do. Whenever there's some kind of problem comes up, what we do. In my case, most of the quite often I blame Gisambo. Gisambo, my roommate, I blame him. That's what I do. See, no. But that unending business. So that's what I do. Now, most of the time, that's what I do. And sometimes I try to be mindful. So then, So now this text says, how's about, you know, blaming, you know, something else. What is that? That's called self-grasping mind. Danji, it's called Danji. We all have sense of self, and we all grab on that quite tightly. You do, I do, all of us, we do. So the very self that we are grasping, that self is not clear. It's not clear. That understanding of self is not clear. See? So that the very self that we grab very tightly on, so because of that, you know, grasping mind on the self, because of that, you know, so much we do, so many things we do. So that fundamental, that, you know, what is called sometimes that translates fundamental confusions, that's what it is. See, so then grasping that, you know, very tightly. So then, that is the tangbo is the beginning. We become attached to me, I, self. Then mind, you know, my religion, my tradition, my culture, my people, my position, my idea, my opinion, you know, my knowledge. Then it goes on and on. See, but all this driven by some misunderstanding of self. So there's no, that self may be super, the self that we grab very tightly, maybe it's like exaggerated. We just exaggerated. So that's the beginning of the problem. That's the beginning of the problem. Not clear understanding what you are grabbing on. We have no clear idea what we are grabbing on. So that leads, you know, back to, I say, ultimately, nothing is serious. Nothing is serious as we think. We think everything is serious from what point of view? That point of view. We think about everything, we think everything else from what point of view? That point of view. Self-grasping point of view. That self-grasping is mistaken. Ultimately, everything's level. It's just level, no, just level. It's not serious as we think. It's just level. See, it's just level. Elephant in the dream, that's just level. It's not there. There's no elephant. No, so the bed is like, I mean, that bed can hold elephant. Elephant in the dream. We see dream, elephant in the dream. That's just level, that's just concept. It's not, but it seems very real. Yeah, it does seem real. That's exactly how we see things. Everything's like solid, inherent, unchanging, absolute, real. That's how we know, see things. Huh? Ultimately, it's not like that. It's where it appears. The way it exists is different. Only thing that's same is emptiness. Emptiness, the way it appears, the way it exists is same. Therefore, it's called ultimate truth. Ultimate, that's the truth. Besides that, everything is conventional. Conventional reality is not reality. It's conventional reality. So in order to tackle that, first we have to understand that the very mind that grasping very tight on self, we have to prove that is mistaken. So in order to do that, then what we need to do, we need to find out what is self. How you define self? Is the body? What is self? So in ancient, the Indian philosophy, they did lot of research. They did lot of research, lot of different theories, how to define self. So many different theories how to define self. They really spend so much, you know, they invest so much energy to find what is self. You know, there are so many different theories out there, you know. The conclusions, the theory means the conclusion of analysis. They did a lot of research. So conclusion, because of the conclusion, there's many, many different views how to define self. So there's something to think about, okay? There's something to think about. So then, according to these thought transformations, the self-grasping is the mind. That's the one needs to be blamed. That's not you. So that's not you, you know. If that's you, there's no hope. There's no hope. No matter what you do, there's no hope. That's not you. But we feel like that's me, but that's not, that's mistaken. That's not you. That needs to be go sooner or later. That needs to go. Otherwise, we remain as part of that. Then, you know, there will be no, like, really happiness. You know, there will be always there some kind of complication. So that self-grasping mind is, has 100% supported, backed by self-cherishing thought. Self-cherishing thought? So such as like, you know, my way, highway, that attitude. See, So everything is, that sounds like difficult. It is difficult. Sorry to say, but you know, that's the truth. No. So if we just give up, you know, it's never going to be easy. You know, we have to think, sake of our own happiness, we have to think how to liberate ourselves from all this suffering. We have to think, you know. So that's the way to tackle. First, the very mind that is grasping on the self, we have to find what is self. So we have to prove that very mind that's mistaken mind is not valid. It's not valid. It's mistaken. So everything that builds on that's mistaken. So then maybe because of that we are hallucinated. So because of that, we think everything so seriously because there's, so see, we used to see things, as I mentioned before, when we are young, 1 year old, 2 year old, we used to see things, but we don't label. We just see as they are. No, we don't judge, no, we don't label. When we grow up, then we become so educated, so sophisticated, so serious, and everything becomes so tense. This is all created by this mistaken mind, self-grasping mind, which is considered as iron cage. Iron cage? This iron cage, that we are trapped in that cage, iron cage. We have to free ourselves from that iron cage. So, Danzo, charge it, have a boost or so. Trapped with that iron cage, Mari Mumbe, Mathe Kunitims, then basically hallucinated, or maybe all confused. So that's what it's called. Sometimes it's called fundamental confusions. That's what we call. So only through how we can liberate, we need wisdom. Not just wisdom, this particular wisdom to understand true nature of everything, true nature. So what's called ultimate truth, ultimate, there's true nature. This is just conventional, you know. This is conventional. Everything, that's, you can say perceptions, level, this is all, we are all caught up with that. But ultimate truth, there's nature. Nature, the pure nature of things, what we call emptiness. So maybe it's worth to read, please, about emptiness. Maybe just, because you know, you are very smart, most of you are educated, you can read. Just read about emptiness. Maybe we are missing something, not knowing what is emptiness. Maybe just read and see what you think. Just read about emptiness. There's all so many books been translated into English about emptiness. Just read about that and think, you know. You don't have to accept. You know, just read and, you know, see, you know, how it goes. So that's what it means. Lale tamje chilada. Then this text suggests how it's about blaming that mistaken mind rather than Gigi Sambo. Poor Gigi Sambo, you know. So that never ends. It never ends. When you blame, start to blame, then it will end. Someday it will end for good. It will end for good. You don't have to do it again, again, again. So blaming you, somebody, I have to do it again, again. It never ends. You know, I will be never satisfied. you know, so keep the minimum dunga kunjin gone. It's like not being satisfied no matter how many times you do, you know, we don't get satisfied. So this, you know, this is the door to suffering. You know? Not being satisfied, not being content, no matter, you know, more we use, there's no really satisfaction there, you know, that's like clear sign. So now how's of blaming that self-grasping mind? It will take time to understand why that mind is mistaken. It will take time to understand why that mind is mistaken. If you read about emptiness teaching, you will know how to prove that mind is mistaken. Once you understand that, so then slowly you can link. Oh, now I realize all this problem is caused by that. And 100% supported by self-chasing thought. Otherwise, you know, see, I used to believe, you know, that Krishna was the one who is destroying my happiness. I believe in that, then I, based on that, I act. Not just be quiet, I act on that, you know. So, then sometime, you know, oh, yes, you know, it's like, it's complicated. So, anyway, so we have to try, we must try, you know. That's the one, Kula Ganesha Gunja. So now the second one, Kula Ganesha Gunja.
Toward all beings, contemplate their great kindness.
So I'm just reading this book. This book has been taught long time ago. One of the Tibetan masters, Kolkatama master, Gigi Chakawa, taught this, Thought means to write it down on the book. It makes available for the people. You know, he writes it down. Kula kadin chawa gums. That's also important. That's a very good one. Kula kadin chawa gums. Kula kadin chawa gums. Regardless,
toward all beings, contemplate their great kindness.
All being, not just my family, my relative, my friend, like my people. It's not like. All being. Problems that occur now in 21st century in our world, in the world that we live in, problems that occur within the family, within the neighborhood, within the community, within the country, between country, because lack of this, you know. Wisdom, kula kadichava gums, you know. So what we do when we see somebody very successful, when we see somebody going through a lot of difficulties, when you see somebody begging on the side of the street, what we do? Kula kadichava gums, you know. That requires some understanding, some knowledge. No, that requires some knowledge. Otherwise, you know, how you can do. You know? If you see somebody going through difficulties, what do you do? According to this text, they say you generate compassion. You know? That's the healing energy. Compassion is the healing energy. So, just talk between the class, the first class, second class, just talk to someone. So I'm not sure, does compassion bring suffering? That's my question. Does, based on our experience, does suffering bring suffering? Does compassion bring suffering? Very good point that somebody brought it up. Very good point. I don't have answer. So there's one Bodhisattva means person who has no altruistic attitude. Person who has this wish to free all living beings from suffering. That person is called Bodhisattva. The person that has wish to free all living beings, not just, you know, my people, these people, you know, like, regardless what they do, what they believe, if they believe or something or they don't believe or something, equal. That person wants to liberate all of them, not just people, somebody believing something, not just those people, everybody. That person is called Bodhisattva. The person who has this strong desire or heart power or will power to liberate all of sentient beings. That's called Bodhisattva. So there's one called one Bodhisattva, there's many, many of them, but no, one of them is called Bodhisattva, ever weeping, weeps all the time, weep or cry all the time. Because, you know, the suffering that person sees, you know, all they know, he or she is working so hard to liberate them, but, you know, out of, you know, this fundamental confusion, so much, you know, suffering people go, and unbearable suffering that people go through, and because of that, feel sad. You know, so, there's, you know, different types of sadness, right? Sometimes sadness, some sadness is good or bad. Crying, there's happy crying, right? Crying is not just always as a miserable crying. Yeah, people know we cry when we, you know, become sometimes miserable. Anyway, so I was wondering, so because of the conversation with that person, I was wondering. So that's, I think, from this teaching point of view, it's like suffering, the compassion should not bring suffering. So then, the example that person give to me, like when her child see somebody, you know, like fighting the school, and that, you know, he gets hurt because he feel is like they should not, you know, fight, you know, should be, you know, treat each other well. So then it gets hurt. So I'm not sure. I'm just asking you. So what do you think? What do you think about that? Okay. So kula kanichewa gomso. So when you see, you know, somebody's bit, I will just explain a little bit, you know, how to relate it, our experience, whether it's like good or bad, how to relate that experience with something positive, rather than get jealous or get angry, you know, get very judgmental. See, it happens, you know, like sometimes when you see a side of the road, somebody's begging, physically they are fine, they look fine, you know, they look young, and you say, before you give anything, why you're not walking? We don't generate compassion. No, we have no understanding maybe what that person is going through. Maybe that person is not able to walk because there's so much happening in their mind. Even though they look fine, you know. Maybe that they are not fine. So if you generate some compassion, I'm not saying that I'm doing this, I'm not saying at all. I'm not saying we are same, there's no difference between you and me, not different. We are all struggling, not different, no. So according to this text, not according to me, according to this textbook, you know, that's what we should do when we see somebody, you know. If you can give something, you give, you know. So every our experience that we have in our life, so this text says, how is about related to that, to some positive thinking, you know. If you see somebody suffering, you generate compassion. If you are seeing somebody very successful, you generate not compassion, you know, compassion only able to generate object, then you have to be observed some kind of difficulties. That's the only way to generate compassion. If somebody is successful, there's no way to generate compassion, no? If there's somebody successful, according to the teaching of six perfections, the results, you know, being generous, believe or not, according to that teaching, I'm just repeating, being generous, you know, the result is going to be wealth. The result of practicing ethic, or being ethical, so that's going to be, you know, like high state. Make sense? High state. Practicing patience, the result is going to be attractive. So you see somebody's very beautiful, in order to get jealous, you say, oh, wonderful, that person must be practicing patience, or being practiced patience, wonderful. Something like that, not related. When you see some rich persons, in order to get jealous, when the neighbors buy brand new car, get jealous, say, wow, no, that's the result of practicing generosity. Maybe I should do the same thing. Something like that, that's related, no, how to relate to that, okay? So, it's all come down on positive thinking, no? So positive thinking, that's what it needs. Needs less negative thinking, more positive thinking, life is going to be fantastic. Life is going to be wonderful. Even in samsara, life is going to be better. More positive thinking, not just positive thinking, happy to think. No, happy to think good. No, happy to talk. Happy to sit. Happy to read. Happy to eat. Happy to go. No, not with do things with all kind of mindset. All kind of mindset. So then, even the eating a cheesecake will get complicated too. Even eating cheesecake will get complicated too. Mixed with all kind of health, you know, then exercise, all kind of things. And I say, when you eat cheesecake, just eat cheesecake. That's all. You know, so why is it? So see, like, am I right? When people eat cheesecake, they go through all kind of emotional thoughts. Not in Nepal, not in India. So some parts, you know, they are happy to eat cheesecake. They are really, not just happy, very, very happy to eat. Probably they are not happy to eat kale. Because probably they have been eating kale also. Yeah. So see, like, see, it's kind of very interesting, very, very interesting. You know, so like, see, like, hard to believe that, you know, like, so there's all kind of mindset we bring together. Each time when you do something, there's all kind of mindset. There's no clear mind. Mindset, you know. sitting there, feeling bad, not exercising, and at the same time not doing exercising. So that's no good. You know, we are, all of you have something to feel bad. I have something to feel bad. But we have to do something. To feel good, we have to do something. Otherwise, everyone wants to feel good. But then why not everyone feeling good? People need to do something to feel good, you know. So see, feeling bad after seeing some, like, you know, dirt in the house, you know. So what we can do, there's some options, you know, you can clean. Then you get, you don't need to sit there again, you can clean. So see, we need to do something. So happy to, you know, not just do, happy to do, happy to do. Why? Because for your happiness. Because it's for your happiness. That's why you have to. So kula kadicha gomso. So that's where I stopped this morning. So kula kadicha gomje. If we can do that, we don't need religion. We don't need religion. Why we need? We don't need religion. Why we need religion? When I look at you, I'm thinking something good. When you look at me, you are thinking something good. Doesn't matter what His Holiness says. So much emphasis on the secondary level. You know, my religion, your religion, my tradition, my culture, my lifestyle, your look, my look. You know, so much emphasis on that, and it's kind of forgetting. As a human, because we are all human, you know, human. We all have feelings, so we all have want to be good, we all want to be happy, and kind of forgetting that, you know, so like fundamental nature, the human good qualities, you know, we forgetting that. So that's why there's no, there's all religions to help you to increase, improve that. If we improving ourselves, why you need religion, no? So, no need religion. So, that's why His Holiness said, no, my religion is kindness. I think that's very, very high, sir. Comes up this idea from the deeper thinking, you know. So that's, you know, everybody's being kind to each other, so that world is going to be a better place. So you see another human being as the same, emotionally, physically same, want to be happy every single minute, and want to be free, looking so hard, working so hard to be free from suffering in that level, same. We are same. So see, yeah. So then I'll stop here. So I'll read this too. So the next Sunday will be continue. Okay. So we try. We must try. Okay. Yeah. With that, I'll stop.
So in the Gold Prayer Book, if you turn to page 246, we'll read the dedication prayer by Master Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And then if you turn back one page to page 244, we'll do the long life prayer for His Holiness the Dalai Lama. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. And then the bottom of 245, the long life prayer for Ken Rinpoche. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. And back to 244, the long life prayer for Lama Zopa Rinpoche. You who uphold the Siddur's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjinas' victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And then for Geshe Gelug's long, happy, healthy life, seven green Tara mantras. Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tari Tu Tari Tu Re Soha.
So I just want to say, you know, this last three long life prayers, I mean, some of you may be wondering why we are saying this. The first one is for His Holiness Dalai Lama. This is our leader, you know. Don't you want to say something?
What for our parents?
Okay, okay. So, the first one is like long life prayer for His Holiness Dalai Lama. So, some of you, so probably always aware that, you know, His Holiness the Dalai Lama is like peace-loving, wonderful human beings. You know? Wherever he goes, he don't talk about Buddhism, he talks about basic human quality, such as loving kindness, compassion, you know, respect, all of that. And he is trying very hard to bring all the religious leaders together. You know, he's initiating a lot of interfaith dialogues. So to how to contribute, not to divide, how to work as a team and to make the world better, you know. And all, you know, there's a lot of commitment, His Holiness. So it will be nice if he live long life, it will be helpful for our world. You know? And that's in the bigger picture. And the second, you know, like, so you are aware that Tibetan people, we are, you know, like exiled in India last 60 years. And a lot of our brothers and sisters back in Tibet is still, you know, there's a lot of problems, like mainly fear, constant fear. What you can say, what you can think, and on your own motherland, you know, that's the land where you grew up, and that's where you're born, like that, like your parents born, that's your grandparents, great-grandparents, you know. So now you have very little right to say things about whether it's like environment or resource or your tradition, your culture, and you say something, you go to jail. No? So then, you know, His Holiness the Dalai Lama is bringing awareness, you know, like I say, some kind of relief back in Tibet, some kind of relief, you know, that people feel freedom, you know, some kind of, so not seeking separation, but seeking within the people of China, some kind of, you know, see within the people of China, to some kind of safe, you know, safe feeling, mainly like emotional safe, you know? So that's your, you know, all the American people and governments been supported our cause, you know, many years. So that's like your contribution to a Tibetan cause when you say the long life of His Holiness Dalai Lama. So, and there's more likely it's going to be peaceful approach. See, when you think about what happened in Tibet, it's not something that easy, you know, what happened in Tibet last, you know, before 1959. There's a reason to be very, there's reason why you should get angry, you know, why as a Tibetan, why you should get angry, there's reason, you know. So, but because of His Holiness leadership, so we're trying to follow the peaceful approach, you know? So we don't kill, we, you know, whole country is based on Buddhism, so we don't believe in killing somebody to reach, you know, our goal. So we didn't kill anybody. So and if you are aware that a lot of them, you know, killed themselves, has got self-immolation, you know, these people could kill hundreds of thousands of Chinese easily, but they don't kill, because they don't believe in killing. So that's your contribution, you know, because of His Holiness leadership. So every Tibetan people, I say, to reach their goal to peaceful approach. But you know, it's very, very difficult. Now world is like very much tied with business, economic, and all that of that, you know. So anyway, so that's, I just want to explain, you know, the saying long life prayer for His Holiness Dalai Lama is to contribution for, indirectly contribution for Tibetan cause. You know? So then you have been supported many, many years, as I said. And the second one is like long life prayer for my teacher, some of whom you met, you know, he came here 2 times. So then the last one is called Lama Zepa Rinpoche, you know, who is the head of this center, you know, this center is like associated with FPMT. There's a global organization. It has like 190 centers all over the world, Asia, Europe, everywhere in America, many, many of them. So Kadamba Center is part of that. So here, the Lama Zepa Rinpoche is there. So now, there's a young photo, you know, now, for you, some of you met. So there's long life, because he has, you know, he has responsibility for all this in the organization. So then, so you don't have to say those prayers. You know, if you say, I want you to have some nice idea, you know, what this prayer is for. You know. So thank you very much, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Have a nice week, you know.
And if anybody can stay behind a few minutes and help take down the table from power practice, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
No experience necessary.